If you just tuned in, we heard the title track of Tri-Fi's new album, Staring Into the Sun, featuring Matthew Fries on piano, Phil Palombi on bass, and Keith Hall on drums. All three members of Tri-Fi are here live in the studio at WMUK. They perform tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall as part of the Bullock Performance Institute series. And if you want to see a little interaction with the musicians, you can arrive early at 7 p.m. to hear more about the music in a discussion led by Dr. Robert White. Tickets are available at the door or MillerAuditorium.com, I believe, is the website to look for that. Fellas, you've gotten a lot of praise for this new disc. I had a hard time choosing which review to feature in my introduction. The one that did speak to me was the one from Downbeat, where he described it as a relaxed yet fervent approach and expressing joy, wonder, surprise. That's a great groove, a great feel, and I think he expressed it well. I mean, this is truly pleasurable music, and yet there is a sense of searching. Really like it.
Yeah, we're really happy with that review. Certainly anytime you get a nice review from Downbeat, you know, it's certainly appreciated. That tune is, I love that tune that Phil wrote, the title track. It's we were talking about it yesterday, and we were having a little bit of a rough time in the studio really getting to what Phil was hearing. And then he just kind of gave us a thought. You know, he mentioned Chick Corea's Return to Forever band, and we did a couple takes of it, and then he said, "Hey guys, just Return to Forever." And Matthew and I went, "Oh, okay." It just kind of opened us up, and we did the next take, and I think that was it, right?
Yeah, it wasn't like we were going to. I didn't intend anything to be like, "Let's try to play this like Return to Forever," but I know just saying that one word would get them to get off the page as much as they were at the time and just do their own thing, you know, right. And it just, you know, became our take on what Return to Forever kind of arrived at almost, you know.
Yeah, it also kind of put us all on the same starting point, I think, too. Just kind of the place, okay, we're all going to start from here, and
did he also insist that you quit your jobs at the grocery store?
Hey, I begged groceries, too, in high school.
He still works there.
Yeah, but that's what happens when we write music. Sometimes you have this, you know, you write the notes down and the chords and everything, but when we all come together, we all kind of put our stamp on it, and it becomes our tune. I mean, Matthew writes, and you know, we all write, but I think that when we come together, it really becomes our tune because of what we all bring to it. And also, I think as we write, we have each other in mind. You know, we know the connection we have and everybody's strengths. And so I think we all write with that in mind as well.
It's an interesting discussion where you can give very specific directions to somebody on how to play something, or you can give a conceptual thought, like a reference to the Chick Corea tune. And that's more what brings the piece together.
Yeah.
In some cases.
It's really fun, what Keith just said. It's really fun when you start writing stuff and you've been playing with somebody for 10 years. There's a tune where I wrote a specific rhythm figure. I didn't even say anything. I just thought, you know, if I kind of write this way, I know Keith is going to rip this apart when we get there. It's going to be awesome. You know, so I think it was Tones for Sam Jones, or something. That might be the one I'm thinking of, where I just wrote this, you know, the send-off into Matt's solo. And without even saying anything, just pass out the chart, we read it, we get there, and Keith does exactly what I knew he was going to do at that moment. It was like, yep, that's why I like writing for him.
It's a band.
You're getting dangerously close to outright praise for Keith Hall, who is terribly humble whenever he's on the radio here, and he never sings his own praises. I would be kind of interested to hear about what you think he brings to the trio.
Well, he's easily one of the most musical drummers I've ever played with. You know, just, and he was actually talking just a minute ago about remembering like the first, when he first started playing toy drums as a child, he was playing the melody instead of the rhythm. Like, rather than playing the drum part, he was trying to figure out how to play the melody of the song on the drums. And I think that speaks a lot to the type of drummer he is. He's very aware of the melody. He's incredibly supportive and at orchestrating. You know, the drum set is a really big, beautiful instrument with all these different sounds and textures that you can create. And really amazing at kind of painting these styles and emotion to really lift music up, no matter what the type of music is, you know, whether it's jazz or whether it's pop music or gospel music.
So he's a frustrated pianist, is what you're saying.
Very frustrated.
Yeah, he just kind of, for me, he's one of those drummers that when you're playing in a piano trio, and I don't know if it's because as musicians we spend so much time listening to great trios and you hear what drummers, these great drummers, do within the trios, but we'll write tunes, and without saying anything, you're playing in a tune and you go into another section of the tune, and in your mind, it's like, oh, wouldn't it be great if the drummer did this right now? That'd just be so perfect. And he always does that. He always kind of goes where you think it's going to go. And it sounds like it's easy. Oh, if you think you're supposed to be there, you should just do it and it'd be easy. But not every drummer gets that, you know. He really knows how to keep the music moving.
Yeah.
And, you know, drums contribute a lot to, especially when you got a trio. Okay, you're broken down to 33 and a third apiece. So he has a big role to play. So the smaller number, the lower number of people on stage, the more each person has a responsibility. And man, he just fills it up so much. It's like right
there
we need it.
He's kind of doing orchestrating on the fly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
And then leaving room for us too, though, you know.
Well, that's the good thing, and that's why it's good he's such a humble guy, because he is listening very hard.
Very handsome.
Well, and then you add to that musical stuff, just his personality and his drive for inspiring young people. I mean, he's a passionate educator. We've done some, come out to do some work with him at his summer drum intensive, where he works with, you know, 20 or 30 young drummers for a week. And the musical transformation that gets these kids to go through is amazing. The personal transformation that these kids go through is just beyond words. I mean, he inspires them to grow up and be responsible, and it's, you know, you just don't see that happen. You guys are so lucky to have something like this in the Kalamazoo community.
Okay, that will conclude our.
Okay, I love you. I love you guys. Checks in the mail. Thank you.
We're kidnapping, taking him back to New York.
That's too much. Anyways. But it's these guys that are awesome. It's these guys.
I'll go on.
Come here, these guys tonight.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I do know you. How much you appreciate Matthew and Phil, and you can see all three tonight at 7:30 if you come to the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Tickets at the door, and the new CD is also available. This is CD number 4 or 5. Okay, so there's also four others.
And then there's the Christmas CD.
I see.
Which I think it's right about time to be shopping for Christmas CDs, right?
You can't. And jazz Christmas CDs really are the perfect background.
Yeah.
Well, guys, let's get back to the album.
Yeah.
With the lives you've described, lots of gigging, teaching, touring, who even brought up the idea, we should do another CD? Let's add to this crazy schedule.
Because if you're not growing, you're disappearing. You got to keep, you know, in music, you need to keep releasing, you need to keep pushing forward. And we want to be playing Tri-Fi 362 days a year. We want to be playing our music. And to do that, you just have to keep doing it. I mean, it sounds like a weird explanation, but it's exactly it. You just have to keep pushing, because as soon as you stop, it's not like we can record 5 CDs and then go, okay, that's it. Now we could just tour. No, you got to keep putting out there. You got to keep pushing yourself musically, become better. And you got to keep giving people new things to listen to. And so you can go out and do great things like radio shows in Kalamazoo. This is fun, you know, and we want to be doing our music. I kind of hate sitting at home waiting for the phone to ring and playing other people's music. This is like, I'm a third of this project, and we get to do my thing as well as his thing and their thing, and we got our thing, and it's a whole bunch of things. Things are fun.
And it turned out to be a very, really well-reviewed and well-received thing.
So happy.
Staring into the Sun, the latest release. It was funded by a Kickstarter campaign, am I right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. The last three
projects we've done that. It was fun. The first time we did that, Kickstarter was kind of a new idea. You know, now it's a lot of people have really, you know, not just musicians and artists, but, you know, all sorts of companies have started using crowdfunding to get things started. But when we did it the first time, it was a pretty new concept, and I can remember, you know, we kind of did it in a precarious way. We had the Kickstarter drive end literally days before we were planning to go into the studio. And so there was just this tension. Because with the Kickstarter model, you have to reach your goal or no money changes hands. It's just pledges. And then once you reach your goal, okay, everybody turns their money in and the transactions happen. So we literally hit our goal days before we were planning to go into the studio and had to pay all this money to go into the studio. And I remember the feeling getting into the studio and, wow, I feel like there's, you know, 150 people in here with us who want us to create something. And it's a pretty powerful platform, if you use it in that way.
Well, we still have lots more to play here, at least a couple more. So let's take another break. And this time it's you're up, Keith. This is a tune you wrote called "Song for Butterfly." Mm-hmm. You want to tell me about that?
Yes, I wrote this for my wife Tamara, and we've been married for 20 years. We've been together for 24. So I met her when I was four. In college we connected. And you know, this song is, I really like the story of the butterfly, you know, the caterpillar and the butterfly. I just always have been attracted to that story. And yeah, you know, there's this quote, I think it goes like, you know, just when the caterpillar thought its life was over, it became a butterfly, you know. And I think we all can go through times in our life like that where, you know, it's not looking so great. And then, you know, we just wait and something beautiful happens. But, you know, it's different seasons of life. But so I just like that. And my wife likes butterflies. And so I just wrote it for her.
We heard "Song for Butterfly" by Keith Hall and a recording by Tri-Fi. The new album is Staring Into the Sun. And you've been listening to all the members of Tri-Fi here on WMUK. Phil just last talking about moving forward, always keeping going with new music, new recordings. It sounded like a personal dream to keep playing these original pieces as a trio. Like you said, not necessarily waiting for the phone call to play with other people's bands and other people's music. It's very personal to all of you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you really have to be creative in this business. You just can't wait for things to come to you all the time. And, you know, we all have so much music in us and things we want to get out. So I know that when we decide to do a new record, for some of us, we already have things ready to go or be working on things. And then for so others, you know, this is a kind of a kick in the butt to go, okay, I need to get back to writing. And that would be me, because I don't write that much. But whenever we have a record, you know, it kind of forces me to do that. So I appreciate that opportunity.
Well, some more words from the press about this album. In Jazz Weekly, George Harris writes, "Here's some red meat for fans of the Piano Trio, the lyricism of Bill Evans with the joyful bounce of Gene Harris. All the material here, organically grown and produced, and covers the waterfront of dynamics and moods." These guys are great writers.
Yeah.
But I think it really does apply here. I mean, an album you can listen to over and over again.
I think of the ones we've done, this is probably my favorite. I mean, it's definitely musically the most, I guess mature is the word. I don't usually think of us as being mature, at least not in public. Yeah. but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it is a really broad range of styles, and emotions and, tempos and moods. And, I'm very happy.
And tonight's concert is actually sort of the kickoff of a tour. And I see that not too far away, you can see you guys play in that great speakeasy club in Detroit if you wanted to take a road trip to see Tri-Fi again after tonight.
Yes, we'll be at Cliff Bell's on Friday and Saturday.
Both days, Friday and Saturday?
Both nights. Thursday we'll be at Merriman's Playhouse in South Bend, which is a really great little listening room there.
Great.
And then on Sunday night we'll be in Cleveland at Nighttown. And that's our first time in Nighttown, at Nighttown. But just a couple nights ago, we were in Chicago at the Jazz Showcase. So it's been a pretty great week, and we've gone to a couple of schools already. We have a couple more schools to visit and doing a couple other radio shows. I won't mention where they are, but because this is really the only one that counts, right, Kara? It's a really packed week, so we're really excited about it.
What are you guys going to do after we get off the air here with the rest of your day?
Take a nap.
Phil's going to take a nap. We're going to go take a little break now, and then going to do another radio show with Matthew that will be aired
at
some point. And then we'll set up and get ready. We're going to do a Q&A with the students and then do the performance tonight. So,
how can people stay in touch with Tri-Fi after this?
Well, you can find us on our website, which is tri-fi.com. We're also on Facebook, and we're on Twitter, Tri-Fi Jazz, at Tri-Fi Jazz. Mm-hmm. So you can, that's the easiest way to connect to the group and, you know, or to individually, or, but that's it.
YouTube.
Oh, and we're all over YouTube too. Phil, one of his,
Polopolo.
He likes to bring his video stuff along and record a lot of the concerts that we do and, create these fun little videos, on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel full of videos from our last couple of tours.
Well, I think I should wrap it up, let you guys go, unless you have any final thoughts for listeners out there. I can tell them where to go once again.
Yeah, well, we just want to say thank you again for having us, Kara. It's always great to be here with you. You do such a fabulous job here and everything you do, and it's always great to be here with you, so thanks for making the time.
My pleasure, Keith. Thank you, Matthew and Phil.
Absolutely. Thank you.